The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Many see living in the country as, yeah, that's the ideal life, but there are a lot of challenges for making it all work out in the rural areas. There is lack of health care and education opportunities, job opportunities. There are challenges. An upcoming conference seeks to cultivate, innovate, and collaborate on ideas to provide improved conditions for living in rural Texas. Rural Texas is a major part of the Texas economy, yet are they getting their fair share of the benefits of that economy? What are the opportunities and challenges facing rural Texas communities? How can these parts of the state keep up in the modern age? What are other ideas and practices that could help cultivate prosperity and quality of life in rural Texas? Lots of ways for you to join our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. With us this afternoon, we're joined by Thomas Tunstall. He is a research director for the Institute of Economic Development at the UTSA, University of Texas at San Antonio. Tom, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks, David.
Matthew Jackson's here. He's the director of Small Business Development Center, National Information Clearinghouse, and a co-chair of the Texas Rural Challenge. Matthew, hi.
Thanks so much for having me.
On the line, we have John Henderson, the CEO of the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, TORCH. John, great to have you back.
Thank you.
I'm looking for an update on what's happening with rural hospitals, rural healthcare from you. Larry McManus is here. He's the Senior Director for Rural Economic Development at the Texas Department of Agriculture. Larry, good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Thomas Tunstall, tell me about, when we talk about rural Texas, where is that? What is rural Texas?
Well, rural Texas is all over the place, but most predominantly it's where the land starts to get more arid. We talked about this earlier, but 80% of the population in Texas is located on or east of I-35. And so particularly as you go west from here, you run into a lot of rural places. It's interesting to see how population shifts have been occurring. One of the things that we found in research is that between the 2000 and the 2010 census, just 10 years, 79 counties out of 254 in Texas lost population. So that's indicative of sort of, you know, how, you know, things are trending. There's a lot of growth in Texas. 1,000 people a day is the population increase. 500 people are born here, 500 people move in. But most of that's occurring in Dallas, Houston, Austin, Fort Worth, San Antonio, not so much in a lot of the rural areas, put it that way.
And so, Matthew Jackson, this is what, the fifth, sixth year you've had this rural challenge?
This is actually the 10th year.
10th year, mm-hmm. Okay, sorry about that. So this has been on the radar for a while, trying to figure out what can we do to improve living conditions and attract people to the rural areas, economic development, and what do you see as what the situation?
Sure, certainly. Well, so, you know, as you've touched on, there's a lot of challenges facing rural communities. And so at the UTSA Institute for Economic Development, we've recognized that there are these challenges on the horizon and in present day for folks. And so this conference is designed to help bring together these community leaders with federal and state partners to help them, try to develop solutions to these challenges. But as you touched on a little bit, you know, in your introduction, the challenges are wide ranging from access to healthcare, to access to broadband. How do we bring rural communities into the digital economy? Also, youth retention, right? How do we folks that are born and growing up in these communities? How do we cultivate a community that they want to contribute to, that they want to help grow and be a part of in the future? To other types of things too, resource management, infrastructure challenges. From how do we manage access and use of water resources in a smart and sustainable way? How do we bring healthcare to these communities, especially relying on technologies and the emerging trends of that nature? So there's really a lot of different types of challenges that rural communities are facing, and this conference is designed to help bring together folks to develop solutions.
Larry McManus with the Texas Department of Agriculture. I think we need to be schooled a lot on how important rural Texas is to the overall Texas economy.
Most definitely. About 12% of the state's population resides in rural Texas. And, you know, in economic development, communities are responsible for its own well-being. So if you can imagine, we have more than 1,200 communities in the state of Texas. Most of them are rural in nature. It's their responsibility to kind of identify their economic well-being and help help with strategies to grow their economy, to help themselves. And the state, at the Texas Department of Agriculture, what we do is we work with those rural communities to help facilitate and provide information and get them in touch with potential solutions.
So our rural areas provide food, energy, and a lot of other good stuff for everyone in Texas.
They certainly do. And the part of the Department of Agriculture, our mission is to work with our rural communities, but also in the agriculture, food, and fiber industries. Most of those economies in the rural parts of the state are dependent upon that industry. And so we have we participate and work with them to make sure that we're identifying resources for them.
But John Henderson with the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, healthcare seems to be something that is just it's lacking, to put it mildly, for these areas, right?
That's right. We actually count 21 rural hospital closures in Texas since 2013, which is double any other state. I think Tennessee has 10 closures in the same time period. So there are challenges, lack of health care access, and, you know, budget pressure that exist in those communities because of problematic demographics. But one of the things I actually am looking forward to at the Texas Rural Challenge is, as Matthew said, we're going to focus on solutions and ways that we're harnessing innovation and technology and telemedicine to solve some of those problems.
But you need doctors, right? We need doctors in the rural areas?
We certainly do, but there are new and exciting ways to recruit and retain, and in areas that are even more remote and isolated, to provide that access to physicians virtually.
Right. So this is an example of how solutions can be, you guys can come up with solutions, you can implement them, and they can provide some sort of relief to the challenges that we're facing in the rural areas, like with what you're talking about right now.
That's right, and that's when I'm most proud of our rural community hospitals, is when they're trying to stretch to meet local need and provide access to care.
But there's no substitute really for having a local doctor.
No, there's not, and that's always best case scenario. But there are alternatives as well that our rural community hospitals are making progress in. Very, very hard for behavioral health specifically. There just aren't enough providers to cover rural Texas, but there are ways, and I think the state deserves credit for putting some new funding into those efforts to provide that care even when there isn't a psychiatrist in the community.
All right, we're talking about the 10th annual Texas Rural Challenge. It's going to be in New Braunfels from June 17th and 18th. And this year's theme is Cultivate, Innovate, Collaborate, exploring ideas, trying to come up with sustainable solutions for our rural communities. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Do you have roots in our rural parts of Texas? What do you think about? Why did you leave? 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the challenges and opportunities for rural Texas, the great countryside of Texas. This is an area that we're seeing depopulation and an aging population. Young people aren't hanging around, and they are going to the big city. So what does this mean for our rural areas? Lots of challenges, but our cities are dependent upon the rural parts of the state for food, energy, fibers, all sorts of great things. How much of should the communities in the urban areas be doing to help sustain and protect our rural areas? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. I got an email from Michael. He said, the most pressing challenges from my experience growing up in East Texas are lack of well-paying jobs, poor schools, scarce teachers, healthcare system is poor, doctors leave, hospitals close. Money from taxes collected isn't enough to support the economy. Rural towns can't keep or attract young people. There's a mass exodus to larger cities. Retired folks who live in these towns can afford their homes, but they lack basic health services. It seems like a lot of these communities are one natural disaster for becoming a ghost town. That is one email, and it seems to encapsulate all the things that you're trying to fix, Matthew Jackson. So how are you going to do that?
Sir, certainly. We're gonna try to tackle one at a time. But also, with the Texas Rural Challenge, you know, it's trying to bring together, you know, the communities who are facing these challenges, but also bring in, the partners and the experts who can help develop the solutions for them. And it's not a one size fits all situation either. Every rural community is different in its size and makeup and in the challenges that they face. But of course, across the board in rural Texas, there are a lot of common or unique challenges, much like the Michael email indicated. And so for this year's conference, you know, really looking at cultivate, innovate, and collaborate is really trying to emphasize the idea of how can communities work together, you know, in a regional sense, not just with partners across Texas, but regionally try to tackle these strategies, because the go-it-alone approach isn't always going to be the best. And so looking at how to work together is one way to pursue solutions. And then and how do you do it in a sustainable way, one that is not a one-and-done type of situation, but that is a solution that will last for generations to come? And so much of what the conference focuses on this year in terms of our guest speakers and the topics really tried to address that with sessions focused on community. So that's going to be things like environmental resilience. It's also going to be youth education and retention, to rural tourism. How do we promote these communities? How do we help their economies grow? To those that focus on small business, how can we engage small businesses in these communities as both leaders, but also as economic drivers for their communities? And also, too, tackling a lot of the challenges of infrastructure, too, from water resource management, but one, of course, being very critical is access to broadband and healthcare, too. So they'll have a number of sessions that are focusing on that and looking at the solutions for the future.
Is there any effort to recruit people to move to these areas? I mean, these are beautiful parts of Texas. A lot of people dream of being able to live in these areas, and to say, well, you know, there's land that's available. It's not that expensive. You can have a great quality of life, great place to raise family. What's being done to reach out to people who say, yeah, I want to do that? How do you make that happen? Anyone who wants to, got anything to tell me?
So this is Larry McManus. I think from a community standpoint, depending on what the community wants to be, will dictate kind of what strategy they'll pursue. I know at the Texas Department of Agriculture, we have a certified retirement community program where we work with communities to bring and recruit senior citizens to areas in the rural parts of the state. But also, if a community is doing its strategy building and is trying to recruit certain individuals, they really need to have that plan in place to pursue the industry or the business or the entities that they feel will attract those to their areas.
And so John Henderson with the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals. I mean, I understand the issue, that the challenge for, you know, you need, the hospitals are closing, but I know that there was at least one hospital in Texas that closed. They asked to do a tax increase for their hospital district, and the citizens voted it down, so the hospital had to close, right?
Yeah, I think the instance that you cite is the hospital in Bowie, which narrowly was defeated on a hospital district tax election. Following that, and this is why we talk about rural hospitals and healthcare as foundational to economic development, they saw sales tax decreases by a third. They saw school enrollment drop. They saw real estate that remained on the market for years and businesses that didn't choose to locate to that community. And so we're trying to help our rural community hospitals avoid that sort of fate. And the only thing I'd add to what Larry said about recruiting to rural communities, aside from what you said about broadband and quality of life and cost of living, there actually are several good programs at both the state and federal level to help nurses and physicians who choose to live and work in a medically underserved area by helping them with their student loan repayments. So there are really good incentives to attract young professionals to rural communities and life of service.
So Tom Tunstall with the UTSA Institute of Economic Development, what this group is doing with their get-together in New Braunfels on the 17th and 18th, Texas Rural Challenge. So there are solutions that are out there. Some people are innovating and coming up with ways to, we can figure out ways to keep healthcare in our community. We can figure out ways to bring jobs to our communities. We're trying to share ideas and help other communities learn from each other's best practices. And so this isn't just in certain pockets of Texas, they're going to come up with some solutions, maybe trying to become up with a better overall solution.
Yeah, I think that's right. The whole point is information sharing, and Texas is such a big state, and there are so many sort of experiments, if you will, going on with communities and regions in the state that getting everybody together, at least once a year to talk about this is beneficial across the board to share best practices.
But we've had you here before. We've been talking about the Eagle Ford Shale. And so that's a place where it's a rural part of Texas where they had a boom in their development suddenly. And what happens with, isn't that a solution? Find oil?
Well, and I guess what our advice had been to a lot of the communities that had experience the boom with the Eagle Ford is to use that opportunity. For example, sales taxes went up, property taxes went up, put in better schools and, look for ways to diversify your economy.
Yeah. Population went up too.
Yeah, they did. And, housing costs went up. You mentioned nurses, other types of occupations, school teachers. Some communities actually had to set aside housing to ensure that those folks could afford to live in some of these communities where the housing or the rent prices went up. It kind of depends on the circumstance, but it's interesting. If you look at rural Texas, it's been in a couple of transitions already. A lot of the towns that were formed in Texas at the turn of the 20th century were most of the population worked in agriculture. Now, 2% of the population works in agriculture, and manufacturing was a transition that a lot of small towns went to, but now less than 10% of the workforce is involved in manufacturing. So a lot of small communities are looking to reinvent themselves with service-oriented economies, either becoming rural destinations or attracting knowledge-based workers if they have the facilities to do that, to try to keep themselves vibrant and relevant.
What happens if we don't get this right, Matthew Jackson? Like we said, a lot of these some of these counties are seeing depopulation. More people are leaving than moving to these places. Their population is going down. And also the median age is above 60 and well above 60. These are counties that seem like they're on an unsustainable path.
No, certainly. And, continuing along that trajectory, ultimately will lend itself to these communities turning into ghost towns, and large portions of Texas not necessarily be inhabited in the same way that they were. But the unfortunate part about that is there is such beauty and vibrancy in these communities and opportunities for those communities to grow and to prosper. And so that's where a conference like this, working to bring together these kinds of folks and from the communities and experts to try to tackle those challenges, is an important activity and one that we've been continuing year after year with the Texas Rural Challenge. But I also wanted to add too, in terms of obviously what the future holds for these communities is pretty obvious. If their populations continue to decline, the youth leave their communities and their economic prosperity declines. But part of the Texas Rural Challenge this year, one of the highlights of it is really a series of community case studies. And so we'll actually be closing out on day two of the Texas Rural Challenge, bringing together several different members from three different communities across Texas that have had successful projects or programs that they've developed to tackle different challenges in their rural communities. So, for example, one of those case studies will be looking at tackling food shortage challenges for communities and how in a regional approach, bringing the county and several smaller communities together worked to tackle that problem together. And so that's just one example of the types
of... Yeah, because poverty in the rural areas is crushing, because if you don't have transportation, you're basically, nothing's within walking distance. It's very difficult to survive.
Most definitely. And to that end, access to food, access to health care, and access to quality education really at the end of the day are the foundation for economic prosperity. And so without those ingredients in these rural communities, they have very tough times ahead.
And so what are they doing about that? I mean, so finding partners, using the power, leverage the regional development to bring in someone like, I guess, the South Texas Food Bank or someone like that who can set up some sort of agency to help people.
Yeah, very much so. It's looking, and that's part of what the Texas Rural Challenge seeks to accomplish, is bringing together these folks to share this information, to learn of these best practices, to discover the different types of organizations and partners that exist that their communities can work with to help develop successful solutions.
And what about being able to tap into, if broadband does get established, and Paul Flab, one of our reporters, has had an excellent series on trying to bring broadband to the rural areas, and we'll have links to that on our website. That's a way people can work.
Most definitely. And, there's I won't go too far into it, but there's some interesting experiments, to borrow Tom's phrase, that are going on across the country of states or communities that are incentivizing work from home types of opportunities. And so if broadband can come to these communities, that could represent a real opportunity for folks. But certainly Tom, I think, can speak to a little bit more of, the broadband challenges and what might come from that.
Go ahead, Tom.
It's interesting. A lot of people don't necessarily know this. You can get broadband in Texas anywhere you want. The problem is it's probably going to come from a satellite and it may cost you $1,000 a month. So when we talk about broadband, what we really are talking about is affordable broadband. And it may take something like the rural electrification process that occurred in the middle part of the 20th century, or something like universal basic service, which was part of the telephone program, because it's just not feasible for a lot of large telecom companies to provide broadband to rural communities. In some cases, we've had people tell us, we know we have fiber running right through the middle of town, but the last mile there's no economic model that's feasible for these companies to hook those folks up.
Yeah. So, but if you do finally crack that nut and you have broadband available, and you say, okay, turn that into a dollar, turn that into a job, people still need help figuring out, what am I going to do? What kind of skills do I need to have? How do I get connected into that? I can build web pages for people from my barn or my shed, but I don't know how to do that. So there's some training and hooking people up that needs to be done there.
Sure, the community colleges in particular are instrumental in doing that. And there are a lot of community colleges in parts of Texas that are actively involved in job training.
Right, and still steering people towards those opportunities is part of, I'm sure, what y'all are going to be tackling with the Texas Rural Challenge. It's going to be in New Braunfels on June 17th and 18th. We're going to be talking more about some of the issues and challenges that face our rural parts of Texas. If you've got a question or a comment, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about some of the challenges and opportunities for rural Texas out in the country. When you drive from big city to big city, you might come across a ghost town. What we want to do is not have any more ghost towns. We want our local towns, small towns, to remain vibrant and wonderful and be engaged. But if we don't reverse some trends, that's not going to happen. We're seeing depopulation. We're seeing aging populations. We're seeing kids, they grow up and they move away and they don't come back. Why is that? How can we attract new people into our rural parts of Texas? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. There's a conference, the 10th Annual Texas Rural Challenge, is going to be on June 17th and 18th in New Braunfels. Let's go to the phone lines with Ben. And Ben, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I wanted to talk about changing Texas law to allow advanced practice providers, independent practice in Texas, such as like nurse practitioners and physician's assistants, to allow these advanced practice providers to expand coverage in rural areas, specifically in communities where the cost is so important and that these providers are cheaper to operate.
Okay, Ben, thank you for that. Let's go to John Henderson. He's the CEO of the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, TORCH.
Yeah, I appreciate Ben's comment or question, and we generally support more expansion of authority among advanced practice nurses, and frankly understand that that's the really the most cost-effective way to meet the rural need and take care of all the patients. As you mentioned, David, there's a shortage of physicians in some of these communities, and every study I've seen supports not just cost, but quality results when it comes to using those physician extenders to take care of people.
But when you have an aging population, and these are people who are, you know, they want to get up and they're going to close the ranch gate, you know, but they got a bad hip or, you know, arthritis, and it's just, you know, living out there takes its toll. You're going to age faster if you're out there working, you know, working like a ranch hand every day. You need more doctoring than most people, I guess, John Henderson.
That's generally true. And the nature of the work is more manual generally, but I would argue that the people are a little bit tougher too, and you know they find a way to get the job done, but they need a little bit of help in medicine to make it.
Yeah, but these are also people who they don't come in until they're really, really hurting. They need more preventive medicine as well.
Yeah, primary care is the solution and the future. We need to deal with those chronic conditions and play offense instead of defense. And there are rural communities that are making real progress toward that end. And they'll be sharing those stories at the Texas Rural Challenge.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment or a story to tell us about life in rural Texas, what challenges did you face? Why did you leave? What did you love about living out in rural Texas? And what do you think we ought to be doing in order to make that sustainable and something that more people can experience? Let's go to Melody. Melody, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, my comment is about the telemedicine. The University of Texas, what used to be the Health Science Center, did that about 12 to 15 years ago, and they did it in the Rio Grande Valley. It worked for a while, but then the government, the state of Texas, stopped contributing monies, and then the hospital stopped contributing monies. So the librarian wasn't able to train the physician on how to use, you know, the more up-to-date databases. And, you know, if you train the physician on how to use some of these materials, then yes, telemedicine would work and they could work remotely. But, you know, these physicians are also getting older, so they need to be kept up to date.
All right, Melody, thank you for that call. So, John Henderson, telemedicine isn't as simple as turning on the TV, right?
Agreed. Have experienced Melody's story from telemedicine pilots that had mixed results, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. I will tell you that we've come a long way, not just with regard to the technology and the implementation, but also with regard to state policy and parity between the reimbursement structure, which allows more specialty physician practices specifically to participate. And there are exciting new possibilities available. It is a different skill set than a face-to-face office encounter, but we're seeing more and more adoption among the physician community of all ages when it comes to telemedicine services.
When you look at some of our rural counties and you say who are the big job providers for these areas, they tend to be the school district, and if there's a local hospital, the local hospital. And so these are things that probably need to be maintained and taken care of in order to keep jobs and keep these areas vital. And so Matthew Jackson, the director of the Small Business Development Center and the National Information Clearinghouse, co-chair of the Texas Rural Challenge, do you look at the school district and the local hospital as places to start in order to create a sustainable local economy?
No, most definitely. As you mentioned, and as I noted earlier too, really I think that's the foundation of economic prosperity for these communities. And when we think about where, where the solutions lie for them, it's certainly working together. But it's those who live in those communities who know their communities best, know the opportunities best, know the challenges best. And so certainly that ground game I think is critical. Working with the school districts, working with the hospital systems, to bring them into those conversations and help develop those types of solutions together with them. But again, also too, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so very much, the solutions, the certain types of things like telemedicine that can be of benefit, but of course that requires access to broadband first for something like that to work. So there's a lot of kind of strategy that has to be formulated in terms of what our goal is, but kind of working backwards from that in order to really have a sustainable type of solution.
You know, so you live in a rural area, you're kind of grown up with this idea of sort of this John Wayne attitude, do it by yourself, and the government's not going to be your helper, I guess. But these are big problems. They're going to require coordination, leadership, innovation, research and development. These are not problems that people can solve on their own. So Larry McManus, you're with the Texas Department of Agriculture. What role do you see your department in helping to sustain and revitalize the rural parts of Texas?
Well, part of our mission at the Texas Department of Agriculture is to assist rural communities in economic development and rural economic development activities. And so what we do have a host of programs that we make available to our rural communities. They range from community development, economic development, loans, grants, and marketing programs that communities can pursue. It does become a primary concern in rural communities because of the distance between the communities. And what I've found in my career is that communities that band together or come together and collaborate in a regional approach, they tend to do better economic development-wise than those that try to go on their own. So communication and collaboration is key, and we help try to facilitate that at the Texas Department of Agriculture's Economic Development Program.
There are lots of problems in the rural areas, including suicide. We know that in East Texas, it's one of the worst suicide parts of the state. And the isolation and all the economic challenges, the drug use, these are just problems that are just, I don't know if this is something that y'all are looking at, Matthew Jackson.
Well, that specifically, I don't think so much as one of the topics we're taking a deeper dive into, but ultimately that comes back to healthcare, because it's not just physical, but it's also mental, you know, health. And so that's something that during our topics, so a series of breakout sessions will focus on healthcare and access to healthcare, reimagining healthcare. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's not certainly part of the conversation during those sessions as well from the presenters, but also the communities themselves.
If Medicaid were expanded across Texas, would that change the game for bringing health care to rural Texas?
Yeah, we saw a lot of interest by hospital systems in the area about Obamacare when it was being rolled out, that would enable them to provide more services to rural areas. So, yeah, I think that's a real possibility if it were if Medicaid or some other program were implemented on a broader basis.
And John Henderson, your answer?
Agreed. In addition to having the most rural hospital closures in the country, Texas leads the country in percent uninsured. There are over 4 million uninsured Texans. But the reality is that the state legislature, who just ended their session, has no appetite for Medicaid expansion in the near term.
And we're also seeing a high number of farms in Texas filing for bankruptcy right now due to some of the economic issues. Is that something that you're watching, Larry McManus, with the Department of Agriculture?
We do. From an economic development standpoint, we do keep track of that type of information. Our goal is to help facilitate, again, information resources to our communities that are affected by that type of downturn. And so whatever we can do from our end, we tried to help facilitate any grant programs or loan programs that might be able to assist both the farmers and the communities, the counties and the cities, if there's anything there that we can help with.
All right. So rural parts of Texas, they're getting the short end of the stick in many ways, and they are a big part of the Texas economy. What can we do to make these sustainable and grow and be and revitalized? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about challenges and opportunities for rural Texas. The number is 210-614-8980. For you to call in with your questions and comments, your observations, why do you think rural Texas is faced with so many challenges these days? Another issue is environmental resilience. That's a big part of what you're trying to take a look at, Matthew Jackson. You're the co-chair of the Texas Rural Challenge. Why is this an issue that's on the top of your list?
Certainly. So, you know, environmental resilience really covers a wide range of topics and issues and challenges. And so for the conference, it really strikes a chord across a lot of different areas. Part of that is resource management. So we talked about earlier water resources and managing access and control of those types of things. But it's also sustainable farming practices, ways to tackle food desert and food shortage challenges, to other types of infrastructure types of questions. But all of it, a lot of it comes back to how do we do that in a sustainable way. And so that's really what we're trying to focus on this year with the Texas Rural Challenges, especially in its 10th year, having gone through so many of these types of challenges over the years, is really getting at some of the things that strike a chord across those. And Tom certainly can speak to some of the finer details of those areas too as well.
Yeah, I think one of the areas of emphasis at the conference is going to be, you know, what the approach small businesses are taking toward things like a circular economy or you know, recycling to a greater degree. Two of our speakers are going to be looking at things precisely from that standpoint, and then the third panelist will be from the EPA to give us a sort of a broader global perspective. But you know, there are a lot of things that rural communities can do to you know, recycle more of you know, they're what have traditionally been waste products, and you know, help make local communities more sustainable in that regard.
Larry McManus with the Texas Department of Agriculture. When you go out and you talk to folks in the rural areas of Texas, what do they tell you? What do they want? What do they want addressed?
Well, probably the two biggest areas of concern from an economic development standpoint in the rural parts of the state is rural health and broadband. And amazingly, we'll have two breakout sessions on that at the Texas Rural Challenge. But that does seem to be the biggest concern for a lot of these community partners out in rural Texas. A lot of businesses, a lot of folks feel that if they have better broadband infrastructure, they would be able to, be able to do remote business more than they are able to at this point. And especially on the rural health side of things, especially in that case in Bowie, Texas, where the hospital closed, there was a trickling effect where a large business needed that health care within a certain distance. And because the business didn't have that anymore, they had to pack up and move away from the community. And that affected jobs, that affected the population, affected the school district. So those are probably two of the biggest issues in rural Texas right now.
There was a bill in the legislature to try to fund expanded broadband in the rural areas, and it didn't pass. It didn't become law. A lot of this is going to require some political sway. And I wonder if there is enough of that in the rural areas in order to get our lawmakers to address these overall concerns. Or are we communicating with rural lawmakers, the urban lawmakers? You know, everyone in Texas needs to be aware of these issues. Okay, while these are problems that are happening in the rural areas, they are problems for the entirety of Texas. So are we able to communicate that, Larry McManus?
Well, I think there have been efforts, especially in this legislative session, by a couple of entities. There's a group called the Texas Rural Funders Collaborative that hired a nonprofit called Connected Nation to go around the rural parts of the state to do some town hall meetings. And then there was a local nonprofit policy group called Glasshouse Policy that did the same and did some town hall meetings and worked through some rural legislative legislators. And I think it's being recognized now, the issue, and I think that it's got a lot of publication, so I think there's good evidence that it'll continue to move forward. Tom may be able to talk about it a little bit better than myself.
Right. So Tom Tunstall with the Institute for Economic Development at UTSA, how's the ground game in helping communicate to all of Texas about, can we call it a crisis in the rural parts of Texas, and what can be done to fix it?
Well, it's certainly a disconnect, you know, if you will, to use a telecom term, between urban areas and rural areas in Texas. And, you know, happily this led session, there have been some things done. Apparently, rural electric co-ops, which provide a lot of the electricity, which are not traditional electricity providers, can use their easements for broadband, potentially, and they're looking at trying to knock down the barriers. Now, there wasn't any funding this legislature for broadband initiatives, and I think hopefully in a couple of years that's what will happen, is that some actual monies will be allocated toward providing a larger number of rural areas with broadband.
And so, but, you know, there are places that you can kind of consider to be hybrid urban-rural areas. And I'm thinking places like Lavernia and Floresville. They're on the periphery of San Antonio, South San Antonio. You're able to enjoy some of the benefits of living in the rural areas, and still you're not that far away from driving to San Antonio to enjoy a Spurs game and maybe go to take a class or what have you. What about those areas? Can we make sure that those areas are able to maintain their character, or are they going to go the way of becoming suburbs, Tom?
Well, there's certainly a chance for them to become suburbs. I mean, we've seen that happen with a lot of communities. In fact, one of the things, you know, we've worked with Castroville and Comfort, and they're watching, you know, San Antonio sort of, you know, move out toward them all the time. And you know, growth is going to occur in a lot of ways, whether these communities want it or not. So, you know, the best bet is to try to plan and get ahead of the game as opposed to just letting it happen.
Yeah, so Larry McManus with the Department of Agriculture, is urban sprawl a challenge also for rural economics?
There are challenges for some communities. Some communities do not want to grow. So it really comes up to the it's up to the leadership in the community. Maybe they want to grow, but they want to keep their small town vibe. And so it really comes down to leadership in the community and how they want to plan and strategically grow economically.
And Matthew Jackson, with the Texas Rural Challenge, you're seeking solutions to some of these issues that really have to be addressed. But are you running into some identity issues with people who live out in the rural areas and thinking, well, this is just how we do things, and they're not willing to find solutions that are going to take care of these problems?
No, certainly. That's definitely one of the common types of conversations we've had over the years at the Texas Rural Challenge. The fact that folks are making an effort to come to a conference like that to have these discussions is itself, an indication that at least some of those community members are looking to how do they move their community forward. But I think, as Tom mentioned, that we've touched on, is that the common theme that keeps coming back is how do they plan for where they want to go? If they want to stay a small community, how can they do so? How can they still grow but still embrace their identity? Or if they, in fact, want to become a suburb or bring in a large manufacturer, how can they do those? And so those are the types of conversations and the solutions we're trying to develop and bring people into that discussion at the Rural Challenge.
Yeah, Bandera is kind of an interesting case study. That's a city that, it's sort of close to San Antonio, but they don't necessarily want to grow a lot.
They don't.
And the interesting thing is that they have a consensus in their community about that, and I think that's what's really important. They're picky, and they want certain types of growth, but only those types, and it works for them. And I from an economic development standpoint, I don't know that we necessarily see anything wrong with that.
When you're the cowboy capital of the world, you can call your own tunes, I guess. But John Henderson with the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals, what's going to go on for you? I mean, I don't think this is the legislative session we had was going to give you the lifeline that you hoped, right?
Well, health care and Medicaid specifically were not the priority issues this session, but we did get some help, and there are rural champions in the legislature. That's becoming less prolific, and as we go through redistricting and census in 2020, I expect that we'll have even less rural representation. But we're still finding solutions, and I would argue that most rural Texas communities would love to grow and risk their identity if it meant economic development in those communities.
That seems to be the thing that's going to keep people from making that jump. For someone who lives in the city and says, I want to live and have that rural experience, but the healthcare thing and emergency services, that might be the deal breaker for them, John.
Well, especially for that aging population, but I remain bullish with the younger generation, especially as we overcome some of these broadband challenges and promote remote work. I miss my two-minute commute. I miss low property values. I loved having an Amazon Prime account to overcome, access to shopping for my wife and family. So I think there's a strong case to be made for that rural quality of life.
So Matthew Jackson with the Texas Rural Challenge, is the future bright for the rural areas?
Most definitely. I certainly think that there is a bright future ahead, but it's going to take work on the part of everyone, individuals like ourselves, working with these communities. But really it starts at the community level themselves too, and how they want to define their future. And then from there, we can work to bring together the types of solutions and partners that can help make that that future very bright for them. So I'm certainly very optimistic about the future of rural
And do
Texas.
You think that cities can be part of your partnership?
Oh, most definitely. I think that, we touched on a little bit earlier, the urban, rural, and how the communities can interact with the larger urban areas, and that certainly...
Because we're all in this together, man.
That's right.
We can't do one without the other.
Right?
All right,
Texas
we can't have
place.
Rural without urban. We're all together. All right, Tom Tunstall is with UTSA, Institute of Economic Development. Matthew Jackson, he's with the Texas Rural Challenge. John Henderson is the CEO of TORCH, the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals. Larry McManus, he's the Senior Director for Rural Economic Development at the Texas Department of Agriculture. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams. Direction provided by News Director Dan Katz. Technical assistance provided by Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.